Yeah, we have reflected upon it a bit, but have decided to not to not go down that road. And I would like to reinforce what Lydia said. I mean, obviously, there is a lot of work being undertaken, and some of you here in this room have direct experience in different science technology bodies or in different treaty forums where these questions are being discussed. So here, I think it's also interesting to hear what has worked well in that regard, right? But I would like to reinforce the sense that there is no technological solution to something like an arms race. I think what's needed here is a change of security conception, and that is precisely the kind of discussion that needs to happen here and has been happening for a long time, and it's just not easy, that's all, right? But it needs to continue. And I think to come back to the introduction, where several of us, and you, Anya, and Director General, have stressed the importance of partnership and cooperation and security in a cooperative security, right? And I think that if the challenges raised by science and technology show us something, is that we must redouble efforts in that area and start to understand security as fundamentally not about dominance of others, not about national advantage, but security in a cooperative manner, and disarmament, not only for security, but for peace. Right? And I know that's not often said in this, in the context of the CD, perhaps, but I think that is really important. And connections between security agenda and development agenda, health, environment, they will help, I think, in finding frameworks, framings, discourses that promote that sort of thinking. And if I may, I would like to come back to the point raised by the Pakistani ambassador. And it put me in mind of that in science and technology studies, it's widely acknowledged that when we do science or technology, when we make technology, we also remake ourselves, our surroundings, our identities, and even our bodies. So what is considered to be stupid at some stage, it changes with our innovation in science and technology as well. And so the question of whether horseshoes are critical, I would really ask, critical to whom? And obviously that is imminently important in a political discussion. Who are we representing here? Whose interests count? And who decides about that? And so as technology shapes us, we also shape our technological future, and that's there comes the question of political action. And I've mentioned this in other forums previously, I think as policymakers at the national and multilateral levels, we can benefit from building a discourse that empowers policymakers, that does not uncritically buy into the sense that technology sort of naturally develops and becomes ever faster and policy is outpaced by these developments, but instead recognizes that there is agency in all these developments, there are choices, and that we have the power to ask not only is a specific instance acceptable, but is it desirable? Should it even be funded? Should we go down that road? And I think we have an opportunity to ask such fundamental questions in these debates. Mm-hmm.